guys, you are listening to the Fans of Wrestling Show on FOW Radio Network. My name is Patrick. Danny Danger is always joining me. And Danny, lots to talk about this week. But before that, man, how are you doing? It feels, you know, I know we talked, you know, last week, but it feels like we don't see each other as much since there haven't been a lot of live shows lately that we've gone to.
Yeah, there haven't been a lot of live shows that we've been at together. I've been at some, and you know, you've been at some, but that's gonna change. We got shows coming up these next few weeks. You know, the next 3 weekends. You know, we have shows on Sunday. You know, and I think that'll at least continue off and on for the next couple months. So, you know, doing pretty well, you know, just life keeps on going, man, in this crazy world that is professional wrestling surrounding us. Like you said, a whole lot to talk about, a whole lot of weird, unusual things happening seemingly at the same time. As far as, you know, people getting injured, people needing surgery, people getting stabbed, people leaving, people debuting, people, you know, I mean, some people starting additional ventures, some people filing lawsuits against companies.
Talk about that, man. Okay. TNA getting sued, Dixie Carter, her husband, by Billy Corgan, minority owner, president of TNA. Seems that he's fed up with the way that Dixie's running things and her lack of, she's just not in a hurry to sell the company because, you know, she found funding for the rest of the year.
Yeah. Well, and that's it. They did have, you know, they have taped. They did a whole, you know, taped, I guess, what, 6 nights last week? Either 6 or all 7 nights. And they pretty much taped Impact through the rest of the year. But at the same time, like, so they're getting all this buzz and this talk, and, you know, with him suing them, I heard word of something about a restraining order, something about a bond being filed. And the biggest thing is that everything about this case has been sealed, which means none of it can come to the public
right
until the parties involved decide to divulge that, which they may never. You know, like, so we're – they say no publicity is bad publicity. This is publicity. Now, I don't know if this publicity is going to translate into a lot of money for the company, but it's got people talking. You know, we've talked more about TNA in the last month than we probably have the rest of the time FOW has been around, you know, the other 2 years that we've been doing FOW, you know? So it's got people talking. It's got people interested. But I don't know if that's really going to translate into, you know, merchandise sales, into pay-per-view buys, into ratings for the weekly show. You know, I don't know if that's going to translate for them or if it's just got people talking as kind of it's kind of just something unusual, but not something they want to watch.
Yeah, I mean, will this turn into ratings for TNA at this point? I doubt it. But I don't know. Now the WWE is not interested in the library, library. So they've backed off. So I think that maybe that was the thing that basically got to Corgan. Is like, okay, we're losing, you know, the value here. We have this thing that is, you know, worth something, and now the only potential buyer of this thing and that piece is gone. So now,
yeah, you know,
they're letting money go away, basically.
Yeah, because if they're gonna sell, they need to sell now. Because in 6 months, the price that they're going to be offered for that is not gonna be near what it is now, what it was, you know, last week. But part of the thing is, so because this has a lot of people talking, and everything's sealed and all this, I'm hearing a lot of people already thinking this could be just an elaborate work that, you know, that this is all just to get people talking and interested and continue interested in TNA until, you know, whatever they decide to ultimately happen with the company. like whether I mean, and even at this point, if it's not a work, I think it could be engineered into a work. You know, once they finally, if they have a, you know, somebody who buys it, you know, and rebrands it, and et cetera, I think that they will add that into storyline. You know, so turn real life into the wrestling storyline, which TNA kind of likes to try their best to blur the lines on anyways.
Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen with TNA. WWE might just wait out and let them bankrupt themselves and then bite the thing out of bankruptcy for pennies.
Pennies, yeah.
As they did with ECW.
Yeah.
Might
and they
cheaper.
Pretty much did with WCW. I mean, that's kind of been their business is, you know, they buy up tape libraries and stuff when the owners are in desperate need of money and they can buy them for cheap.
Yeah, I don't know, you know, what really is going to make TNA successful other than Dixie Carter finally sending and letting somebody else run it. Because I think we've seen enough of a Dixie Carter ran TNA to know that it's not going to work.
Well, just because somebody else runs it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to run it successfully either, though.
Right, but at least you need something different to at least give it another chance. Because right now, okay, could the Jarretts have done a good job? You know, well, there's a reason why they sold to Panda Energies and the Carters.
Yeah.
They ran out of money.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest thing. You're not making enough money, then that's it. And the thing is, they were on Spike, and their most successful and money-making years when they were Spike. They lost that. Ever since they lost that, they have lost, you know, everything's just gone downhill.
Yeah, that's true. So, and I can see that there's probably some real-life animosity between this because, you know, Dixie has been just kind of, somehow it's just been getting worse and worse and worse, and money's been getting worse, and viewership continues to go down, and they lose networks and stuff under her control. But for some reason, she wants to hang on to it, and she wants to keep going and try to, I guess, try to turn it around. But she doesn't really seem to be doing a whole lot effectively to turn things around for the positive.
Yeah. Speaking of effectively, WWE just put out their latest pay-per-view, No Mercy. And, you know, not everything was effective as... Yeah. They moved things around. They shifted things here. And we had our main event open, the pay-per-view, the special here.
Yeah, the advertised main event. I mean, if you open the show, you're not the main event. But that was the advertised main event. That was the heavyweight, you know, the championship match. It's a very unusual way of doing things.
Yeah, well, here in the U.S., they had the second debate between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. So many people say that they didn't want the match to be missed because of it. But you know what's funny is they finished the debate.
Yeah,
maybe like a little after 10:30. You could have ran over and gone over and waited until the debate was over.
It's all on demand. You don't have to watch it live. Like I don't get what the problem is. A lot of people would have just watched it. Is there somehow more money for WWE if people watch those specials live?
Because people were going to watch it. Well, you know, you think about they have still sponsors and they're trying to sell ad space. So I'm sure that they, you know,
when it's
confidentially
live, when it's live, you can't fast forward through the ads.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so they have things like that to show to advertisers. Say, hey, look, we have.
Well,
you know,
yeah.
Out of our subscribers, 80% watch the product live.
Yeah,
you know, and you know how they love to trend on Twitter.
Oh yeah, that's like their favorite thing. Michael Cole. Every time Michael Cole says that, I think like somewhere he's collecting a nickel or something because he says that so many damn times. He says it's so happy and. Are trending number one worldwide trend on Twitter. Blah, blah, blah. Nobody cares, dude. It's Twitter.
Right. So with that, We had no mercy. Your highs and lows on the show?
My low was whatever non-physical injury Becky Lynch sustained the weekend, therefore making her unable to compete and her match with Alexa Bliss not happen. And then Alexa Bliss going on to lose that night, which seemingly would not make her the number one contender anymore. But if this is a special challenge type thing, there's animosity between Becky. I can see where Becky would still want to give her a title shot. But now, if you know, typically, traditionally, if you beat the number one contender, you're now the number one contender. If you beat the champion in a non-title situation, you're, if not the number one contender, you're now a top contender.
Right. Well, they actually, you know, on SmackDown, they went forward and, you know, it was Daniel Bryan, I can't remember if it was her or Shane, told Alexa that she's going to be facing Naomi again next week. And if she loses to her then she loses the title shot.
Okay.
So I think that, you know, they changed opponents the day off, so I guess they gave her a leeway. You know, she wasn't prepared to wrestle Naomi.
There you go, she wasn't prepared for all the
right, so
the
they were going to hold stuff, it against her, I guess.
Yeah, well, that was very nice of them. It's very nice of them to consider that. You know, I mean, if my job doesn't consider those kind of things. Something happens unexpectedly, you know, you still got to make it work. You can't just, I didn't do well because I didn't expect it. Oh, okay, well, here you go. We'll still give you that raise that we told you about. No, it doesn't happen in real life that way.
Right. Any other thoughts on the show? Anything else you disliked or liked?
Well, I mean, the whole structure of the show, you know, essentially. I mean,
it fell off.
It did feel off, when the triple threat for the championship came on first, everybody was thinking, okay, so that means that, you know, they're going to put the Intercontinental Championship match top billing.
You would think because so.
Dolph Ziggler's got his career on the line. It's technically your number two title.
And you're talking about the two guys that did a KFC commercial. How can you not put that as the main event?
You said
main event brought to you by KFC.
Brought to you by KFC. Dolph will wrestle in the Colonel Sanders outfit. So you had that, and everybody was thought, okay, this is going to be the main event. It's going to be the main event. It's got the most going for it, you know, possibly Dolph Ziggler retiring. No, that match wasn't the main event either. You know, that match was about two-thirds of the way through the show. And then Dolph wins and gets the IC belt. And so everybody says, okay, well, that seems like that would be a big happy ending that you could have put at the end of the show.
That would have been a great way to end the show.
That would have been an ending of the show that's positive. Everybody's excited. Oh, man, Dolph's still here. And we get to, now he gets the championship. We get to see him defend the championship and tell Miz to suck it. And, you know, like all these kind of things that that everybody loves to do. But no, they didn't give us that. What they gave everybody as the, you know, technically in the main event slot was Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton.
A match that I've already said I didn't care for. Nobody really did.
Well, it's something we've seen. If we haven't seen it before, it feels like we've seen it before a lot of times. You know, it seems like it's kind of thrown together in the last few weeks. And now they're in the main event slot. And the match is, you know, okay, it's whatever. And then the big thing is Luke Harper comes back from injury and he and Bray Wyatt are together and they, you know, they lay out Randy and they like pose to end the show. Like that felt like an episode of, like that's the kind of ending you get for an episode of Raw, not one of your, live network specials. It just, the whole show felt kind of off. You know, I mean, they came out guns a-blazing with the best and biggest match first, which is an odd strategy because it's almost like you're asking people to tune out because you've already seen the best thing. You've already seen the thing that you wanted to see most, that we told you was the most important. You've already seen it. It's a very odd strategy, and I don't know if it worked the way they wanted it to. I mean, we don't really know as far as views and live views for the network specials.
I definitely didn't care for this main event, and I think I tuned out for most of it.
I think you're probably not the only one. I think there are probably a lot of people that just kind of like, you know, played on their phones or kind of got up and went to the bathroom and stuff. You know, it's definitely not a main. The way it had been built is definitely not built as a main event caliber matchup.
Yeah. And, you know, a high from that, though, was that we got Luke Harper back.
Yes, that's the only saving grace out of that.
Yeah, it's funny because when the lights turned off, I thought they were doing, you know, they're copying TNA again. You know, with the lights going off at Bound for Glory. Well, no, the lights went out the Bound for Glory, so I thought, oh my goodness, they're copying them again. And then, no, this was on purpose. It was not an accident.
Yeah.
And then, you know, of course, with Eric Rowan being injured now.
Yeah.
I feel like these guys flip-flop injuries.
Well, like, yeah, that when one of them is always
injured.
Yeah. It's been quite some time, seemingly, since all three of them were healthy at the same time for more than a few weeks.
Exactly. So we get him back, so it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I would be more interested in a Randy Orton versus Luke Harper feud. Let Bray be the mouthpiece.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that to me would provide better matches, and that would do the strong suit of, you know, of the two of them, because Bray's all right as a wrestler, but
at this point, I'm done with Bray Wyatt as a wrestler.
Yeah. Because they've never given us any reason to think that he's ever going to win a match. You know, and I think that's the biggest thing that's hurt him. I don't want to use the term buried, because he's still in a top position. He's still, you know, they try to push him as a top guy, but then they just have him go out there and he talks a big game and he beats somebody up and then he loses the match. And then he loses the match. And then he loses the match. So why should we ever think otherwise?
Yeah. But I'll say that the title match for the triple threat was really good. I enjoyed it. The whole double tap, double submission was a little weird.
That was a little
strange. I think they could have done without it. But, you know, Cena taking the loss again, I think, to me, huge. Cena is just, you know, on his way out to do a show, and so... With that, you know, he's just taking the losses like a champ.
Yeah. Yeah, he's doing his job to put guys over on his way out. You know, a lot of guys, even long tenured vets, seemingly have a harder time doing that.
Yeah, because now, you know, AJ and Dean have a reason to continue their feud, because Dean hasn't gotten his singles rematch, I don't believe, and he wasn't pinned.
Yeah.
In this triple threat. So, and technically he made AJ submit. So,
they can have something to keep it that going. And then AJ can sit here and say, hey, I beat you and Cena, you know, et cetera. Yeah. So AJ still has more to talk about, and Dean still has a case for rematch.
Yeah. And the IC title match, career versus title, that was better than I expected it to be.
Well, I think it's because there was much more of a built story.
I was still not 100% sold on it, but the match itself that night was.
But that's what I'm saying. Because the match itself, there was some added to it because of more story. Because they did the same match last month.
Yes.
And it, you know, but people just didn't really care that much about it. Was the big thing. It's, you know. It was a good match, but there was really no story. There was no reason for people to care.
Yeah. So the Usos did not defeat Slater and Rhino.
No.
So I was surprised about that one.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. And Nikki Misawa looked great.
Yeah. Nikki Misawa. Oh, you're jumping on that bandwagon of calling her Nikki Misawa too?
For now.
For now.
I mean, for now, I'm starting. I've never been a Nikki Bella fan, but you know, she's starting to show me more than just fakeness right now.
Okay. So you're okay, but for the time being, you're on the Nikki Misawa.
Yeah, so I'm on the Nikki Misawa thing for right now.
Okay.
She'll do something stupid, and then, you know, I'll go back to hating her. Okay. Baron Corbin versus Jack Swagger. Didn't care for that at all.
Nobody cared for that. It was kind of pointless, really. No, neither guy has any kind of steam in the company. You know, Baron Corbin keeps winning, but he's winning on pre-show matches. He's winning matches that literally don't mean anything.
Speaking of pre-show matches, we got another 8-man tag with all remaining tag teams.
All right. Every single team on the roster. One match.
It's basically everybody on the roster was on the show because the roster is so small.
Yeah.
Kurt Hawkins was advertised to wrestle, and he didn't wrestle.
And
so
did not.
He's doing the
Eva Marie
gimmick better than Eva Marie was.
Yeah. So did Eva Marie get hurt? Is that why?
No, she got suspended.
She did? Okay, that was it. That's why they kind of curtailed it.
But her suspension already finished, so...
Oh, suspension's done already. Okay.
Because remember, she got suspended the day after Paige.
Okay. Right around the same time.
Yeah, because it literally was day. It was like, I think it was...
People were joking like, oh, they've been hanging out too much together, like right. That kind of thing. Gotcha.
Because it was literally the next day she got suspended, so...
And that was Paige's first suspension, not her most recent, right?
Right. I guess we can talk about it now. So, you know, Alberta's out, and Paige gets suspended a second time. Her family, not shy, goes to social media, blaming WWE for lack of care, saying it was painkillers. WWE goes back, it wasn't painkillers, it was an illegal substance.
Paige and her family are claiming they had a doctor's note. It was prescribed by a doctor for these. You know, Paige even went so far as to say on social media, I guess somebody questioned something about it, and she said, different rules apply based on your status. You know, insinuating that about people like Lesnar and stuff who, you know, he failed his drug test for UFC, but, you know, WWE really didn't care about that. You know, that didn't cost them. You know, and that people had talked about that too, but that's kind of an immature attitude to take, you know, to just kind of come out and blast your company. A lot of companies, you know, would have fired somebody as soon as they started trash talking the company. Even if it's kind of in that manner where she's not directly saying something, but she is, you know, I mean, she's indirectly dissing her company and the policies of the company that she works for. But you know, this is the world of wrestling, and the same rules don't always apply as they do in real life.
Yeah.
So she suspended for 60 days.
60
now
days.
Now I heard that she's looking to go for surgery for the neck issue that she's been dealing with. But then I heard the wrinkle in the story is that WWE doesn't feel that she needs surgery, so they're not. So it's kind of up in the air to
she's scheduled for whether surgery. WWE's, apparently,
yeah. But that's what I'm saying. She's scheduled for surgery, but I think she's taking elective surgery. I don't think, from my what I've heard, is WWE doctors have not. Right.
So the question is, will they pay it?
Will they pay it, or will she have to pay it out of pocket?
Yeah.
You know, not that she's hurting for money. You know, if she's smart with the money that she has. But it does just kind of add more unusual things to this, and then her guy. Alberto is now the president of an MMA group in Mexico.
Right? No, it's a Mexican, you know, Combate America is a Hispanic MMA, but it's in the U.S.
Oh, okay, so they're geared towards a Latino audience,
right? And of course, you know, the owners of Combat America is one of the original founders of the UFC.
Okay.
Don't know the name, but yes, I believe it's the same guy who was actually trying to buy the UFC for a lot more cheaper than the $4 billion that the Fortino brothers got.
Gotcha.
So he owns Combat Americas and.
And he made Del Rio the president.
Right.
I don't...
El Presidente. Not only is his title
he's
El Presidente.
El Patron. He's also El Patron, El Presidente.
And now he's going by Alberto Presidente is now his new gimmick for wrestling.
So how much do you think he actually will see on the day-to-day operations? Do you think he'll be more of a desk making calls, or you think he's kind of as much for publicity and like FaceTime and appearances?
I think he'll be the face of the company. He'll do the PR. I mean, he may want to be involved backstage some, and he'll probably have a role. But I don't think it's just a publicity stunt. But
I was thinking whether you think he's the public face of the company or he's actually more into operations.
Right. No, he was a former MMA fighter. So he has experience and he has something to bring to the table as a successful performer in the entertainment, in MMA and pro wrestling. So there's value. Yeah. And there's a relationship, that he has.
Yeah.
And he has connections. So I think that he may play some front office stuff, but I think for the most part, he's the, if you look at it, Combate Americas is a show this weekend, and they had the weigh-ins today. And who was front and center? Alberto Del Rio.
Alberto
El Presidente. It's funny how they named him Alberto El Presidente and didn't go by his, full real name.
Yeah, so give a name or anything?
Right.
Yeah,
and
well,
you know who
one
else?
Of those guys
who was a,
changes his name.
You know who was at the Wayne's? His former ring announcer,
Ricardo.
Yeah,
was he fighting? Or
no,
was he just there hanging out?
He was in a suit, and he had a microphone. So I'm assuming that he was emceeing the weigh-in.
That's silly. He's I can't remember what name. He still tries to wrestle independently. He tries to train people and stuff. The biggest thing I've heard is that he seems to have a much higher impression of himself than everybody else does. Thinking as far as good as he is and as good of a trainer as he is. But the reputation he has from, is that he thinks a lot more highly of himself than he rightfully should.
Yeah. Probably, but hey, he has friends. Now, also, I will say this, that Conan is also involved with Combate America.
Okay.
So you look at all this relationship, and, MLW's Kurt Bauer, he's got a, he works for them as well in production.
Okay.
So, you got the whole circle of...
So this former is the team... This is the TNA of MMA is pretty much what this is becoming.
It's becoming something where, former pro wrestling,
they bring in the old stars of the past that the UFC no longer wants, and then they bring in some new guys.
Well, no,
and,
that's what Bellator does. That's Bellator's gig.
There you
These guys just bring a bunch of unknown Mexicans and Hispanics.
Yeah. Who work for cheap,
Right.
They work twice as long hours, and they work for a lot cheaper.
So, but hey, it should be, at least they have a job, right?
Yeah. Well, legitimate. Not just that, but if the company becomes a little bit more, then of course the competition then forces UFC to take notice, forces UFC to up their game in some respects. Once competition arises, you sometimes have to change how you do things because you're no longer the only game in town.
Absolutely. So so it'll be interesting what Alberto El Presidente does. He also tweeted out, in an interview, I believe, with ESPN. And it's funny how ESPN has this WWE section, and they cover so much non-WWE stuff on it. But that's, conversation for another time. He was mentioning that he'll be heading to TNA and Ring of Honor soon.
Okay.
So while he's still El Presidente at Combate America,
he's also making appearances, or so he's hyping at least.
Right. He's saying he'll be there. So it only makes sense that he would wrestle. You're not gonna pay him to appear.
Well, before he came back to WWE, he wrestled a couple Ring of Honor shows.
Right.
And plus, if
you pay the man to just appear, you know, good luck with that.
Yeah.
If you're gonna have him appear, might as well make him wrestle, because you don't know the next time he'll appear somewhere.
That's true.
Get stabbed somewhere.
Yeah.
Where there's no records of it.
Yeah, where nobody called in or anything. Yeah. Right.
So that's interesting to me with the whole situation. But good for him. Good for Alberto El Presidente. He seems to have found something he's happy about doing.
Yeah.
Speaking of people who are happy about finding things to do, looks like Goldberg finally found something good to do.
It looks
like he's going to be back. He's announced he's flying to Denver for Monday Night Raw to answer Brock Lesnar's challenge. So it looks like we're getting the rematch
that nobody wanted.
12 years in the not making.
Yeah, because it was a terrible match. It's considered one of the worst main events of WrestleMania history because the fans turned on the match so terribly because they knew that both guys were out. That was their last night. You know, the only thing that saved the match that kept it interesting for people was when Steve Austin hit the stunner on both guys.
That was great.
That was the only thing that people cared about, you know. And then, of course, the fans just turning on them and heckling the wrestlers and all this so heavily and the, you know, hey, goodbye and all that stuff. I guess they're trying to do it as a space holder thing, you know, so Brock Lesnar can avenge his loss. I assume that's the whole point of it. They'll have it built up. Goldberg will come in and he'll lose to Brock, and then Goldberg will, you know, help promote the 2K17, and then he'll just kind of fade back away into obscurity with a big fat paycheck.
Do you know?
His pocket.
If that works.
So is that a match that you're actually excited or intrigued to see?
I think I'm more intrigued. Excited, can't really say I'm excited. But what I will say this is, at least it gives not Goldberg, Lesnar, somebody to face who's not on the main roster, who has to, you know, just be fed to, you know, to Brock. Like Dean, you know, because, you know, with all the injuries that they had earlier this year, they ended up going with Dean versus Brock. I mean, thankfully, Dean has recovered from it. But, I mean, you were next.
They pretty much fed him, yeah.
Right, you're not going to give Dean Ambrose that win at WrestleMania against Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
I think everybody knew that, so.
Yeah. Sadly for Dean.
Are you looking forward to Goldberg versus Lesnar?
Not at all. I honestly haven't been excited for anything Goldberg's done since shortly after the streak was broken.
So after 98, you were done. After Stark,
pretty much
eight,
after
you were done.
Well, give it a few more months. You know, they tried to do this thing, and then he just kind of pitted out. And they were like, "Oh yeah, that match has been stricken from the record. The streak lives on." And then he would like go out and he'd spear like four guys, and they'd count those as wins, and you know all that. So yeah, by that point, I was done. I was like, the guy's got four moves. I'm going back to my boy DDP.
Yeah, so we'll see. But Survivor Series sounds like where they're heading with this.
Yeah,
I would have tried to hold off till Royal Rumble, maybe. I mean, they're going back to the Alamo Dome.
Yeah.
For the first time since.
So speaking of Survivor Series,
uh-huh.
Let's change subjects away from bashing Goldberg for a while. It seems that they're building to their first interbrand matchups already.
Right, because Orton versus Lesnar does not count, since that was set pre-draft.
Yeah, and Lesnar, although he's a Raw superstar, he's kind of not really, because he kind of shows up when he wants to, where he wants to. He's not there every week like most guys on the Raw roster are.
Correct. He
has special circumstances. But I think you were already kind of mentioning on the social media is that you think it's much too soon to already do have this kind of brand rivalry.
Yes. I mean, I understand. It's kind of like, it feels more like, you know, the old bragging rights pay-per-views.
Yeah.
But
where they
okay.
where they give the win to SmackDown more times than not.
Exactly.
To watch SmackDown.
Right. So you're only going to have a couple of storylines, and then what does that mean? So between now until the next, so we just had No Mercy, right? So
yeah.
Let's say
2 weeks we get Halloween Havoc, and then we get World War III next month.
Well, I wish we had Halloween Havoc. I wish they would bring Starrcade.
I want World War III back.
Really?
I think with the rosters of Raw, SmackDown, and NXT, you can get 20 guys to fill three different rings, and we'll do World War III.
This is true. All right. But, okay, so let's take a look. So excluding Survivor Series.
Yes.
All right. Between No Mercy, that happens with October. Well, when did it happen? October 8th? 9th,
yeah. 8th. Yeah, just this past Sunday.
Right. To the next SmackDown pay-per-view, which I believe is going to be TLC. That's December the 4th.
Okay.
So, I mean, you have almost 2 months that you're going to be dragging some stories for 2 whole months. I mean, not that I'm complaining, because, you know, I've been an advocate of longer storylines.
Yeah, I'm drawing them out. But
yes. However, this group of writers are not going to make it fun for me.
Yeah, you can make a storyline long term, but when WWE does that, they often make it feel long term. You know, they seem to it seems to feel like it's dragging out, like it's in holding patterns. You're kind of just like, when are these guys going to fight and be done with this?
Right. So if we look at, for example, the tag teams, right? So
yeah.
So what Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon mentioned was doing a women's versus women's from Raw and SmackDown.
Okay.
Tag teams versus tag teams.
Okay.
And then I guess heavyweights, male heavyweights versus male heavyweights.
Okay.
So, okay, we know that AJ Styles and Dean Ambrose are probably going to wrestle each other at Survivor Series.
Yeah.
All right, so then what happens with the tag teams? You're going to hold off the champions from defending the title on a pay-per-view until,
yeah,
you know, December the 4th? I mean, they may defend the title in between, but in matches that are not necessarily a story that you're looking for, okay, this is the culmination of a story, which the matches at the pay-per-views are usually what they are. So you're just going to hold off a feud for 2 months? That's just
I guess so. Well, see, the thing is, like, they're going to have, like you said, they're going to have, like, TV main event stories for these championships. But I don't imagine every single show is going to have guys crossing over. I imagine they'll go maybe a week or two before a Raw guy will appear on SmackDown and a SmackDown guy will appear on Raw. You know, I think that's how they're going to draw it out some.
Yeah, well, it'll definitely be interesting. So it's just like, okay, so I'm all about prolonging storylines and making a story longer in between shows. It's just that, you know, the way that these writers write, you know,
yeah,
it's just, it's awful.
Yeah, it's, they don't know how to, I think these guys know how to write certain things, but I don't think they know how to write,
pro wrestling. No.
Yeah, they don't know how to write pro wrestling. They're used to scripted actors and all these things.
Right.
And it just doesn't work for them like it should.
But I do like the fact that they are doing Survivor Series style matches at Survivor Series. I've always loved them. I used to love it when all matches were Survivor Series matches. So that part I'm excited about.
Yeah, that's true. The Survivor Series matches always were a lot of fun.
Yeah, were you a big fan of those?
Yeah,
especially when they name people, you know?
They name, like, a cool name for the team and stuff.
Yeah, like Roddy's Rowdies and the King's Court.
Yeah, things like that.
It was just some awesome stuff. I mean,
you had the five, you had the four doinks. I mean, come on.
You had the mercenaries.
What more could you want in life than a ring full of clowns?
Yeah. Well, you know, that match, I try to make my wife watch that match with me. She's very strongly refused.
Does she not like clowns?
Not those clowns. I think I showed her Doink once, and I was trying to get her to show all the little ones, and she wanted to do nothing with
it. Yeah, I think my wife's seen a picture of Doink and was like, yeah, no, not going to do it.
Yeah.
Not going to do it.
All right. So, Survivor Series should be fun. As long as it's done right, the matches should be fun. I would like to see more than just three Survivor Series matches, style matches, but I'll tell you that. Hey, who knows? They might do a Cruiserweight one.
They could, yeah.
I mean, they have enough Cruiserweights. They bring most of them.
That's true. Just
speaking of Cruiserweights, so we know now the full bracket of for the first round of the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. You know.
Yes.
And okay, so right now, we're not spoiling any results because we're trying to stray away from that, but we are going to mention some things that have been revealed as far as partners. So right now, this is your cue. If you do not want to even
on this week's NXT, they showed at least part of the bracket because they had matches that for it.
Right, right. But I'm just letting all of the viewers listen that there may be some things that may be spoiled from. And so just close your ears for a few moments, and then we'll get back to you in a little bit. Danny, the brackets. TM61 versus Tino Sabatelli and Riddick Moss. Okay. Austin Aries and his mystery tag team partner. The person we expected.
Yes.
The person we wanted.
Yeah. Well, that has been on a pre-tape thing, so we won't mention it. It has not aired on television.
Right. So, but we know who it is. Hey, I gave them a disclaimer, all right?
I gave them a disclaimer.
Not necessarily unfortunately, but I mean, we know who it is.
Yeah.
Versus Tucker Knight and Otis Bogujevic. I think that's how you spell it. All right.
Nope.
Kota Ibushi and Hideo Itami, unfortunately, not happening. Hideo is hurt.
Yeah.
And his tag team partner, the Cruiserweight champion, TJ Perkins.
Yeah, that was announced today.
Yeah, versus Lince Dorado and Mustafa Ali.
Yeah.
Bobby Roode and Ty Dillinger versus Sanity. The two big guys from Sanity. The Authors of Pains against the Bollywood Boys.
Yeah.
No Way Jose and Rich Swann versus Tony Nese and Drew Gulak.
Yeah.
The Revival versus Andrade Almas and Cedric Alexander. And DIY versus Ho Loon and Tien Bing. All right, Danny. Yeah. So those are the brackets. Who are your finalists?
We kind of mentioned this that it kind of looks more like the Dusty Cruiserweight Tag Team Classic. Than anything.
It does.
It's the makeshift Cruiserweight Tag Team Classic Invitational. if you're available, we'll put you on it kind of show.
Yes.
I think out of the 16, I think we counted, there's maybe seven teams who have experience teaming together, who've debuted, who've actually had that on television. I mean, my picks, the ones that make the most sense, is it should come down to the Revival and DIY.
Right, but they're in the same bracket.
That should be the finals. They're in the same bracket, right. So they screwed that over.
Yes.
Maybe you get them in the semifinals. You know, or something. But to me, that should have been the money match of the finals. But I guess that was seemingly obvious, maybe.
Yeah. You know who I'm going with? This is who I'm going with. The Revival.
So you think the Revival is getting to the finals?
Yes. Versus Austin Aries and his mystery partner.
Okay. You think him and the mystery partner are going to go all the way to the finals?
Absolutely.
Okay. I mean, and they could. So we've already seen 2 weeks of first round matches on NXT in the last 2 weeks. So we saw the Office of Pain polish the Bollywood Boys. I can't remember the second one we saw last week. This week we saw TM61 beat Sabatelli and Riddick. And we saw the debut of Sanity, which I will come out and say is my new favorite stable and group in wrestling. So we saw the debut of Sanity as Alexander Wolfe and Sawyer Fulton.
Mm-hmm.
Sawyer Fulton teaming together, destroying Ty Dillinger as Bobby Roode walked away not wanting any of the large men from Sanity. So he left Ty Dillinger to get destroyed by them, and the smaller person in the mask went over and just started wailing on Dillinger, and they had to pull the person off, and she rips her mask off, and it's Nikki Cross. She dives back on him, and they have to pull her off again. And then the last person takes off their mask after hitting a move on Ty, and it's revealed as Aaron Young.
Which is pretty cool. You know, I think...
And the entrance was pretty sweet, too. The music and the lights flying around and stuff.
Yeah.
Just a...
Yeah. So if we take a look at the brackets...
Yeah.
And, you know, so I'm going to let you take... No, just take a better look at the brackets, and you tell me who you think will make it to the finals.
Okay.
So you already said the Revival. Okay, so they're from the bottom eight.
Yeah.
So that's your pick from the bottom eight, and then from the top of the bracket, the top eight.
Okay.
Who do you like?
I think of the teams that are listed there, of the teams that we have, I think the one that would make sense going against the Revival in the finals would be TM61. I think they've kept TM61 interesting and exciting, but they haven't given them like a top level shot. They've kind of kept them as a tag team almost.
Right.
So I think that would be the good matchup, would be the Revival and TM61. But if last year's Dusty Classic is any indication of how this match is going to be booked in the finals, we're not going to have regular tag teams in the finals. We're going to have regular tag teams get eliminated. We're going to have makeshift tag teams in the finals. And yet again, we're going to show that two good singles wrestlers are better than a really great tag team.
Yeah. Well, okay. So, definitely. And we'll see what happens. TM61 versus the Revival would be a great matchup. I always thought that would be a great takeover special.
Yeah.
Type of match.
Yeah.
Of course, you and I, we're very high on TM61.
Yeah.
You know, all from the days back in Australia.
Yeah, but I mean, I've really enjoyed the work they've been doing in NXT.
Yeah,
too.
Absolutely. They just find a way
to make their stuff exciting and that kind of thing.
They know how to elicit a reaction. You know, even though they're two guys who just wear wrestling ties and come out, you know.
Yeah.
With the foreign guys, you know, sometimes they can come out and look very simple and boring. They know how to make those not only facial but body expressions.
Yeah, they know how to pull you into a match and get you to care and get you invested in it, which is a lot more important than just going out there and hitting a bunch of cool moves.
And they can talk. They did a pretty good job so far of talking.
When they need to. Yeah,
exactly. So that's also another group. And that was torn. Okay. Big spoilers here. Fans, again, step off for about 5 minutes. So Danny, the secret partner.
Yeah.
Roderick Strong.
Boom.
I think that there's no way they could have been anybody else.
The thing is, the hand had kind of been tipped a little bit because the word had already gotten out they had signed Rod.
I mean, word had gotten out months ago.
Yeah, they were interested, and then they said that they signed him. You know, and he debuts, you know, with Aries.
I mean, that's the perfect way. I mean, when do you introduce this guy? This is the best way to introduce him. You put him with his former tag team partner in Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
They have history. And you know what?
Yeah.
I think, in my opinion, if they make it to the finals, as I predict, I can very well see Aries turn on Roddy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you look at Roddy, he's getting all this attention, and Aries gets jealous.
So you think that they maybe lose in, like, the quarterfinals, and then Aries gets pissed and turns off.
Remember, I picked him to make it to the finals, but...
Okay, that's true. But I'm just... So when they lose, whenever it is, that Aries turns on him, and that becomes a feud.
It could be.
To help put over Roddy.
Right. Well, Roddy's going to be a babyface. I mean, even though he's acting like a heel right now, let's be truthful. The dude is going to be super over with the crowd. I think he's going to be more over than Bobby Roode.
Yeah. I don't know if he'll get that much because Bobby has the advantage of the gimmick is helping.
Yeah, yeah, the glorious
the song and the entrance and stuff helps a lot. Because of Roddy's his wrestling style, I think will help with gonna get him over. And that's what's always gotten him over is his wrestling style.
Right, and I think that the WWE's gonna love the fact that he does the whole luck is for losers thing because that was a big thing the Punk used to do.
Yeah, or he had a tattoo of it. Yeah,
right.
So the luck is for losers, and you know Roddy versus the world, which I thought was cool.
Big,
they're bringing that back. So he's gonna start taking on. You know, I mean they're going into the tag division. And he's gonna go.
The fact that he kept his name was awesome.
That's true too.
He could have been, you know. Because it could have been, you can't be Rod. We already had a Rod.
Yeah.
You know?
We already had a Hot Rod, yeah.
So yeah. I think it's cool that he got that they went with the name. So now, Danny, is your theory of the TNA invasion now becoming a possible Ring of Honor invasion?
Well, if you remember correctly.
Which I don't, because my memory sucks.
Roderick Strong also was in TNA, although it was quite some time ago, and he Aries and Shelley kind of came in together, and there was a big bad snowstorm, and Ring of Honor had a big event in NYC, and there were several TNA talents on that Ring of Honor show on Saturday, and TNA asked those talents to come down to Orlando early for fear that there would be travel issues and they wouldn't make it. Aries and Roderick Strong said, no, we will not. We have obligations to Ring of Honor. We will not break these obligations and leave them high and dry to be on pay-per-view tomorrow night. Shortly thereafter, both of them were let go. Most of the other talents said, okay, TNA pays me more. I have to go where the money is. But so there was a very, very few months where Austin Aries and Roderick Strong were in TNA.
You know, they were two, three years. You're right. There were 2-3 years where he had a handful of matches with TNA.
Yeah. Well, he was actually like a featured X Division performer.
Right. This is back in like the 2004-2006 time.
Yeah, somewhere around there. Then he wasn't really used.
Right.
You know, and then Aries came back, of course, and had a lot of success in TNA, where Roddy continued to be in Ring of Honor and the Independence with Evolve and a lot of other places.
Well, Danny, I guess your theory remains intact and alive.
That's it. So next week, Billy Corgan's actually going to try to buy WWE.
Or maybe he'll show up. Maybe this was Billy Corgan's thing all along. Or maybe all this was a ruse, and Russo was sent to TNA by Vince, as he was sent to WCW. Did you hear? We're done with spoilers here now. Vince Russo now is running a wrestling company.
Yeah, it's called Platinum Championship Wrestling, right? It's out in Porterdale.
That would explain a lot. No, it's up in the Midwest somewhere, I think.
Okay.
What is it called? Oh my goodness, I can't. Let me look it up as I look on the Google, because
The Google, yes. Yeah. Sometimes you got to look at the Google.
Right. So this company, let me see here. This is called, I cannot find it here on the Google. But I can't remember the name of the company that he's working on. But he just recently took over or is running a wrestling promotion up in the Midwest. I think it's Denver. Is it Denver? Okay. Somewhere over there.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. Keep going.
So, what do you think about the fact that he's, running another wrestling, in control of a wrestling company? I mean, guy's smart. We'll see. So,
yeah, if he's just tones back on just trying to put himself over, it could be. I mean, we'll see how it is. You know, his name's gonna get, of course, he's going to get eyes on it. So it's his. It's can he keep those eyes coming back, and can he put a good product out there? I mean, that's what it comes down to.
Okay. Here we go. I found it on Rocky Mountain Pro.
Rocky Mountain Pro. All right. So
out of Denver, Colorado.
Vader's their champion, right?
You know, I wouldn't be surprised. No, I don't think Vader's is on this thing. I don't think that they could afford him. Now, they are on TV on the Hunt channel.
They're already on TV?
They got national. So, if anybody...
They got national TV before they had a regular show.
If anybody gets the Hunt channel...
Yeah.
I didn't even know that channel existed. Yeah. Then you can check out what did I say it was? Rocky Mountain Pro, which is produced by Vince Russo. He's their producer. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. So in addition to his very successful money making podcast venture. He is now back in the wrestling business. Good for Vince Russo.
Yeah. I mean, with doing the podcast, he kind of never really left the wrestling business. You know, I mean, he wasn't like running a promotion or working with a promotion, but he was making money talking about wrestling.
Yeah.
He's making money off the persona he had created while wrestling.
Okay, a couple of names here of
some of the talent.
Some of the talent here at Rocky Mountain Pro. Let me see if any names stick out to you here. Big Vig.
Big Vig, is that a former WWF guy, like, renamed?
Never seen that guy in my life.
Okay, so you don't recognize the picture? Okay.
No.
I was thinking of, like, Big Vis, but, I mean, Vis was
V-I-G. Okay, so this is a lady, because there's, you know, men and women in this promotion. Allie Gato.
Allie Gato? Like, is this supposed to be like a play on alligator?
You know, that's what I'm going with.
Okay. So we have Big Vig and Alligator.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it could be Alligato, but then that wouldn't make sense with the plain like name.
Domo Arigato, Mr. Roboto.
Sure. However you can sell that.
Okay, so who else are the big name superstars being featured in Rocky Mountain Pro? Vince Russo's Rocky Mountain Pro.
Let's see here. Okay, Humphrey Jacob I.
The first. Okay, that's good. Humphrey Jacob I. Okay, is he a manager? Or is that an actual wrestler?
He looks like he's a wrestler.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Humphrey the first. That's good. Jacobs, the first. Yeah, it's good to know that he's the first.
Yeah, yeah. So he's got kids or something, and they're the second, and the third, and
right.
Whatever. You know? Yeah. That's good though.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Let's see here. For some reason, not all these guys are pictured, so I'm just going by the ones that are pictured.
Okay. Well, apparently it seems like a bunch of locals. Yeah. You know,
Sugar Free Mario Venger.
Okay, so he pretty much just grabbed somebody's wrestling school and dumped it into a promotion that he's putting money on.
Could be.
Seemingly. And he may bring in names periodically.
Yeah, some of the unpictured people.
Yeah.
Let's see here. The Filter. Zero Cool. Manny Lemons.
We know Manny Lemons because he made the Ring of Honor TV appearance and they were making fun of him. He's Manny Lemons. Then he got squashed by Punisher Martinez or somebody.
Yeah. And let me see if I can find another good one here. Abraxas. Abraxas.
Ooh, that sounds like an early 2000s wrestling name.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, Rocky Mountain Pro, you can find them on the Twitter at TheRockyMTNPro. Definitely check them out if you're in Denver, Colorado, and want to see some local indie wrestling produced by former WWE, TNA, WCW creative head writer Vince
Russo. On-screen personality, Vince Russo.
Whatever else you want to call it. So yeah, so good for Vince Russo.
Former manager of AJ Styles in the early days of TNA.
Right. Danny, that's where we're speaking of indies. Let's talk about our favorite indies promotion. Okay. Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment, we are back. They are back.
We are back about a week and a half. Well, from this recording, a little over a week until the new, Nine days until the new Battle of Atlanta, October 23rd at the Opera Nightclub.
Huge place. I think seats over 1,000
it can seat over 1,000. Yeah, it can hold over 1,000. It's standing room only, at least on the ground level. And then they have seating upstairs, and they have the suites in the second row. From what I've heard, it resembles more the Hammerstein Ballroom.
I've seen pictures. It looks nice.
Yeah, so it kind of resembles that more as far as the layout of the building. One of the things I'm also hearing is that with them and that it is a nightclub, they already have a large sound system. They already have, potential for entrance and visual effects.
Right. I believe that with all the all the good stuff
for the things
they
use for the clubs and concerts and stuff. They could potentially do lights and smoke for entrances, bigger music sound, things like that. So
absolutely, I think they'll probably get a good feel, like, you know, like the, like, you know, Full Sail, things like that. I think,
yeah,
New Japan feel,
have those capabilities. Yeah, and that's the biggest thing, is that it has the potential to, it's going to be a lot more, there's going to be a lot more to it as far as entrances and stuff visually, than we usually get at the smaller shows for AWE.
Right.
But I mean, I'm really excited because it looks like a strong card, but also just because I'm excited to see, you know, what kind of things that they may bring to the table in order to pack people into that venue. You know, I mean, some of the big AWE's always run much smaller buildings. They've always had much smaller,
intimate settings,
smaller capacity crowds, you know, buildings that maybe at most some of them hold 200 people or less. You know, I mean, there's no way you could fit 200 in the quad.
Right.
You know, I think if you fit 200 in the famous pub, they'd shut it down. You know, like, so to be able to hold up to this many people, I'm very interested to see what they can do in order to pack that place out to the best of their ability.
Now, some matches that we know we are going to be seeing: Zack Sabre Jr. against
Martin Stone.
Jimmy Rave in a non-title match against Odinson. The Lucky Seven Scramble. Anthony Henry, Colby Carino, Aaron Epic, Ethan Case, Ken Lee, Owen Knight, Chris Kronk for a chance to be the number one contender.
Yes.
At Jimmy Ray's title.
Yeah.
The tag titles
are
on the
line. Title match.
It is title versus partnership, as the Kraken will defend their titles against the Sand and the Fury. If the Sand and the Fury do not win the titles, they will have to disband.
They will have to split up as a team, never to team again.
Adrian Armour versus Trip Cassidy in a rematch that everybody's been waiting to see.
Style. That's, I mean, pretty much the,
this
they, was
the
that
match?
Match that they kind of, that term came from. The term Southern Strong Style was kind of coined based on that match.
And you think about it, you know, that's, I believe that was at the first tryout match card
and
that they had.
And at the
Trip
quad,
Cassidy,
yeah.
That, you
yeah.
know, people loved
everybody
him since that day.
Blew him away, blew everybody away. They had no idea what to expect from the guy.
And he
came
was
and
fantastic.
He delivered big.
Absolutely.
And you know, he's been featured as often as he's been able ever since then, and eventually aligning himself with Team IOU, and he's been featured very heavily and made other appearances for the sister promotion of UIW here in Georgia and quite a lot of other places based on his. I mean, it pretty much started with that one match with Armour,
right?
So we get to see the rematch of that and see how, you know, how much better both men have gotten in the year that they since they've wrestled each other.
Yes, and of course, we also get the return of the Carnies, Team IOU against the Insiders.
Yeah, the Bros versus the Carnies. It's going to look like a B-level slasher flick, I think. You're going to have the Carnies in there just burning the frat house to the ground.
And you know, I'm sorry, but you know, I don't think that the Insiders stand a chance.
Yeah, they're good. They're good dudes. You know,
nice,
they're fun.
Guys.
But I don't think they stand too much of a chance against the Devil's Carnival. Yeah.
And of course, the Shoddy Low Invitational Battle Royal to be a part of the pre-show.
Yes.
As a tribute.
No names have been announced so far.
No.
But yes, it is as a tribute to
Chris Mayne has put his name in the Battle Royal. He's tired of losing.
Okay. I put my name in there.
Did you?
Yeah. As soon as it was announced on Twitter, I said I announced myself as the first competitor. You know, Mrs. Danger may put the kibosh on that.
Well, she doesn't know, right? And she's not like,
well,
she listens to the show.
Yeah, that's true. We know she doesn't. So,
right. Unless she's sitting next to you again, you know, no.
Oh, no, she's
today?
Behind me. No, we're okay. All right,
she's not here today. Okay.
Yeah.
She's
not
in studio.
So until I hear otherwise, you know, I consider myself the first participant in the Shoddy Low Invitational Battle Royale. So wait a minute.
So Danny Danger, you're telling me you're making your wrestling comeback at the Shoddy Low?
My long-awaited return to wrestling.
So you're gonna bring your gear? You're gonna bring your gear? Is that what you're saying? Or are you just gonna go?
I'm gonna go jeans? Probably a little more Kevin Owens style. Yeah, a little more. The years have not been that kind to the physique of Danny Danger. You know.
Yeah, please. No tights, okay? I see you shirtless.
I didn't even wear tights, at the time. Thankfully, it was the early 2000s. Very few did, but everybody was in pants and jeans, and you know.
You know, I know we're gonna be at a club here, but let's try to keep it somewhat, you know.
Yeah.
PG here.
Gotta have shirts on the dance floor at least. Yes. Yeah.
So okay. So are you gonna try getting the ring until they kick you out?
Until I'm told otherwise, I'm considering myself the first participant in the Invitational Shoddy Low Battle Royal.
That's going to be interesting. So, fans, yeah. If you want to see the potential participation of Danny Danger at the Shoddy Low Invitational, it's the only way you can do it. Get your tickets, brownpapertickets.com. Go to Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment on Twitter. On Facebook. The link's there. You can also look for the link on our Twitter at FOW Radio. We've, you know, just go through the timeline. We continue to share it. Links out there. So he's going to be part of the pre-show until he's told otherwise.
So yes.
So if you want to see him either get kicked out or escorted out or carted out, you know.
Yeah. Or carted out. Yeah, that's possible.
Good thing that we're in downtown Atlanta. You know, you're near
not too far from Grady. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
So that should be very interesting. The day before, PWX is actually having a show, Danny. We're not gonna get to see it, unfortunately. Not gonna be able to make it. Just wanted to mention it. A couple of matches. This is gonna be in Hickory, North Carolina. Martin Stone, before he faces Zack Sabre Jr., he'll be facing Corey Hollis. Trevor Lee versus John Cruz. He was a guest last week here on the show. The Viking War Party versus the Revolt. That should definitely be a fun match.
A wild fight, yeah.
Yeah. You know, the Mother Day Viking Gunner, who recently had a baby girl. He's going to be defending the PWX XTV title against James Drake. And there's going to be many more matches. I believe that the Ugly Ducklings are going to be facing the Bravado Brothers for the tag titles. Gary J versus Ethan Case in a battle of the Fully Gimmick Brothers.
Yes.
Davey Vega versus Jason Kay versus Kobe Corino.
All right. Yes. That's what do you need to say about that?
That match, I'm really sad I'm going to miss. Yeah. So that pro wrestling,
it's available. It'll be available on the High Spots gimmick.
That's true.
You know, shortly. They're usually pretty quick to put those things on the network. Their network there. But see, before those shows happen, though, this very weekend, we have one of our other number two promotion in Atlanta. Is Mucha Lucha Atlanta.
That's right.
Is having MLA 10.
Man, what a card, bro.
The headlining match alone should be enough to get you there if you know who either these guys are and you're a fan of the style or just wrestling in general.
Or if Mr. you just want to take selfies with wrestlers.
You want to take selfies with wrestlers mid-match. You want to kind of dance a little bit between matches. You want to eat a churro. Maybe get some candy that tastes like a bug or is kind of spicy or something. Like, you know, they have all that there. It's kind of a wild party with a lot of Coronas. You might get some broken glass in your leg. You know, that kind of happens. Yeah. who now has said he will wear pants at the next show.
Yes.
Just to be on the safe side.
Not that he didn't wear pants, he just wore shorts.
He was wearing shorts. Yeah. He means full pants, yes. Yeah. He'll be fully covered.
Right. May have, you know, one of those, you know, masked, you know, large jacket.
Yeah, just like extra padded clothing on.
Just, he looked like just one of those SWAT people, all fully covered.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
yeah.
But,
so the main event.
So it's main event, Pentagon Jr. versus Mr. 450.
For the MLA title.
Yes. That should be enough right there. I mean, there's other matches on the card, and there's a lot of other good talent. Phoenix is going to be back.
Phoenix versus Ray Phoenix, as he goes by, against Ray Phoenix. Against Ray Horace Jr.
Yeah, it was Dragon Azteca Jr. and Lucha Underground.
That's going to be awesome.
Amazing Lucha contest.
Arrowboy versus AR Fox.
Yeah.
Bro.
Vera Morales will be competing versus again.
Versus Poder Nocturno.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's going to be in the title.
It's supposed to be title versus hair. Yeah, right. I think Vera is putting his hair up.
And I love those type of gimmicks. I've always enjoyed them.
Yeah, the hair matches or the title versus,
Taya from Lucha Underground is going to be there.
Yeah.
Of course, she cost Pentagon Jr. His AAA title to Johnny Mundo at Triple Mania.
Taya's already cut a promo too and released it online where she mentions that, hey, remember me, Pentagon, like I'm going to be in Atlanta. So she's already kind of teasing that she'll have involvement in the main event somehow. Yes. She doesn't have an advertised match as of yet. But
she can cause trouble.
She can absolutely cause trouble. As we've said, we've been to their shows before. It's kind of like a wild Latin street party, with some wrestling kind of thrown in the center of it. It's a very unusual show, very entertaining show all around. It's a very different experience than most wrestling shows you'll go to. And the wrestling's always fun and entertaining. You still got a few days left if you want to get tickets. They're doing a couple meet and greet signings where you can meet some of the talent this weekend. Saturday night they're doing one. And then on Sunday early afternoon before the show they're doing another.
Right.
Where it'll be free meet and greet. You can just go up and get your picture taken with the wrestlers, buy a shirt, get them to sign your forehead or something, whatever you want to do.
Test, that should be fun.
Test your Spanish against Phoenix or something if that's what you want to do, Right.
Though he speaks English, I found out.
Yeah, but he's traditionally a Spanish speaker, so you can try to dazzle him with your Spanish speaking skills.
So that's Mucha Lucha Atlanta on Facebook, so people can check out that information to get tickets. Although
general admission
tickets will be available at the door.
Yeah.
At the discotheque in Norcross, Georgia.
Yeah.
Espacio Discotheque, I believe, is the name of the place.
Can't remember,
Because it has no name.
Yeah. It's a space or something, Most nightclubs just have like a one word name.
Right.
They're kind of unusual.
Yeah. I'll be heading over to AWE, so called sister promotion, I guess people say that. I guess
it's the sister promotion, so to speak.
This Saturday, I'll see Martin Stone, Team IOU,
UIW,
Aaron
Epic will be taking on Adrian Armour.
Bull rope match between.
You also get the bull rope match between Butcher Bobby Hayes and Iceberg. Right. It's kind of an alternate universe AWE. It's a little more Georgia wrestling mixed in. Get your old grannies. I think we were the last show I went to, there were 40 people there. My friend counted at least a dozen of them were morbidly obese, and at least six different people were on oxygen. And a man in a wheelchair fell over in his wheelchair because he was yelling at somebody. So it's a wild show. It's a very Georgia wrestling show mixed in with a little bit of your AW styling, as they have some of the same, they use a lot of the same talent that AWE does, but then they use Georgia wrestling guys like Butcher Bobby Hayes, for example.
That would definitely be very interesting.
Yeah. It's you're at a livestock pavilion, about an hour and a half. It's about 45 minutes on the other side of Six Flags. You're almost in Alabama. It's at least for their current venue. It's wild. It's a fun experience. It's cheap. Fun. It's like $10 a ticket.
Right. Definitely worth seeing some of these guys a week before.
Yeah.
See them in Atlanta.
Yes.
All right, well, so fans, that's it for the show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope that you'll be able to check out some of these promotions if you're in the Southeast, in North Carolina, Atlanta.
Find us at these places. Buy us a beer.
Right. And if you don't see Danny, you see me, you know, buy us beer for the other. You know, that's cool. We will take selfies for beer, you know.
Yeah. That's a pretty good trade, yeah.
Right, you get a selfie, and, you know, so that's always there. So say hi, don't be shy, and of course, you know, we do enjoy a good drink every once in a while.
And just talking wrestling with anybody else.
Absolutely.
Talk wrestling with us.
Right. So with that, make sure you check us out, Facebook, FOW Radio, Twitter at FOW Radio, Danny's on Twitter at Danny F. and Danger. I'm on Twitter at Yellowman PA. Subscribe on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Podbean, and Google Play. And until next time, keep watching wrestling.